We're going to start in Matthew chapter 5 and starting in verse 38. And I've labeled this opposite thinking.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
All right, praise God. This morning, we're going to continue in the series that I've been on, Matthew chapter 5. And if you'll go there with me right now, this is actually part 5. Wow, 5 weeks already on this chapter. And there's just so much, and I'm really hoping Adrian, our video producer, asked me, is this going to be the last one in the series? I said, well, I think it is, but if you guys will give me at least 3 or 4 hours today, we can finish this, all right? Mariah, is that okay? All right. I don't think I'm going to last that long, though. So, but let's continue here. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 5 and starting in verse 38. I'm going to read through here and then we're going to break this down. And today is part 5 and I've labeled this opposite thinking. Okay? Opposite thinking of the way that we think. And you're going to get this. And many of you have heard this, but you have heard verse 38 that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you resist not evil, but whoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. How many of you have heard that before? And whoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not away. You have heard that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How many of you liked that verse? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain to the just and to the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Say amen to God's word. Amen. Now, we're going to dig into this just on this sermon today, and we're going to find out exactly what the Lord is talking about, because all of these things, if you read through those, how many of you can honestly say that that is totally opposite of the way that my flesh wants to operate? One hand. Oh, two hands. Three hands. Can I get a witness somewhere else? Yeah. Yeah, you know, this is not the kind of thing that we normally would think about. So, we're going to distinguish actually 4 areas that Jesus mentions here as we go through this. And the first one is actually 38 and 39. This whole business of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that he's saying to turn the other cheek. What in the world does that mean? Well, this actually comes from Leviticus chapter 24 and Old Testament law. So if we go back there and quickly we'll take a look at that. Leviticus chapter 24 verses 19 and 20. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so it shall be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Now, isn't that the way that we normally think? That's right. So if I come up, I'm glad you're sitting on the front row, or close to it anyway, where I can get to you. Okay. So if I come up and I poke you, what do you say to me?
What the heck?
That's What are you doing? Right? And then I'd do it again. And then I'd do it again. What do you want to do right now? I mean, that's the natural reaction. You punch me, I'm going to punch you. Right? But in looking at this, one of the things that most of the time we don't understand is that the law was given for specific reasons, and they had limitations on them. Okay? For an example, again, if I come up, he's like, no, don't do it again, right? If I come up and I jab him in the shoulder blade, he was looking for it, right? I'm not going to do that to you because I actually do love you. Okay? So, and I jab him. The law stated that what he could do was equal back to me. But normally what happens is in our flesh man, if we got jabbed, we want to jab back and then we want to hit you in the face. Right? We want to add something to it so that the other person says, oh, he's serious, right? Or she's serious about that. So this is what began to happen. They had gone beyond the limitations of the law, and this is why Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, yes, that is the law, but you've taken that beyond that, and now you want to not only jab me, but you want to hit me in the face. And he says, that is not what I desire. I'm telling you something different here. Okay? I'm telling you, whoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him also, the other cheek. Now, that's not exactly easy for us to take, is it? Because we're not wired that way in the flesh man. But what Jesus is talking about is something very important here, and I want you to go back here. I hope you held your place there in Matthew, but I want you to turn back here just for a few verses and looking at this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Just look back. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus came to fulfill the law. In other words, when we look at this, fulfilling means that he stepped into our place of guilt, and he stepped into our place to take what belongs to us. Everybody understand that? That's what Jesus did. So now, when he is saying, but I am saying unto you, turn the other cheek. Okay? I have come to fulfill the law. I have come to take what actually belongs to you. And therefore, you can now deal with this. You do not have to be the one when someone comes up to you and jabs you, that you do not have to be the one that says, I have to take the revenge to get this back. Because how many of you know that God said what? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And this is why Jesus is telling us as his disciples, we don't have to give the other one back what they gave to us. Plus, he said, I will take care of that. Now, if you look down throughout, what did Jesus do when he came to the cross? Did he fight them?
No.
He gave us the perfect example. When they were pulling out his hair, when they were pulling out his beard, when they were jamming a crown of thorns on his head, did he call for the angels of heaven to come and say, smite them all? Because he could have done it. He had the power to do it. But he didn't do it. And he's giving us the same example. When we have actually in the physical realm, something happened to us, especially when there is persecution or people that are coming against us, it is not our responsibility to fight back. That is His responsibility. Do you understand that? You understand this is what it means by turning the other cheek. Believers, according to this, are not to resist evil done unto them. Turn the other cheek doesn't mean that we willfully let the enemy beat up on us. Okay? Now, oftentimes this is really taken out of context, what Jesus actually meant here, that okay, that if someone comes up and just punches you in the face, that you ought to turn around and say, oh, hit me on the other side here. Okay? That is not what Jesus is talking about here. Because you have to remember the whole counsel of God. What does God say about this? When we look at the whole counsel of God. Matthew chapter 10. Jump forward just a couple of chapters here. And I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you to the councils, and they will scourge you up in their synagogues. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. All right. Jesus said, I want you to be wise as serpents, yet gentle as doves. We are not to let the devil or the enemy beat up on us. That's not what he's talking about. He says, be wise. Be wise as serpents. Okay? If someone is punching you in the face, what do you do? Is that what we do? No. He says, avoid the very appearance of evil. You don't need to punch them back. That's God's business. But walk away from the situation. Okay? Walk away. Because you have to use wisdom here. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. That it doesn't mean that we have to sit there and let the devil just pounce on us. But when this does happen, we are to allow the Lord to take control and let our flesh man get back out of the way, as hard as that might be, and especially hard for men, right? Now some women too, because I've seen some women over time, they get just beat up a man, I can tell you that. But to let our flesh man get down and allow that to be up to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now the second thing that he's talking about here is in verse 40. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. So the Greek wording here is actually a little bit more powerful when you look at this. It means if someone is bent on going to the law with you, okay, they are bent on this. There is no changing their minds. Now, what is the very first thing that we think about in the flesh, man, when somebody wants to sue us? Well, I'm going to get me a lawyer. And I'm going to do whatever I can do to demolish them. Because they're wrong. How many of you always, in most situations, we think we're right? Come on, the rest of you. I mean, we think we're right. And trust me, your pastor really is learning and growing, but he's pretty much there. Now, some of you may remember this story, and Laura's laughing because Laura and I, this was right after we got married. I'm driving down the road, and this truck is going very, very slow in front of me, and I pass him. Well, next thing I know, I see the wonderful flashing lights in the mirror, and I get pulled over. And I tell Laura, I said, I have no idea why this police officer is pulling me over. She said, well, you passed on a double. I said, I did not. And he came to the window and he said, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, absolutely not. He said, well, you passed on a double yellow line. And I said, I beg to differ with you. And Laura's like, quit! Well, he handed me the ticket and I said, you know what? I would like your badge number on there so that when we go to court. And he said, okay. And he took it back and wrote something on there and said, gave it back and said, have a nice day. And I looked and there was another infraction on there of speeding on top of the double yellow line. Now I know why he said, have a nice day. Laura's like, well, if you had kept your mouth closed. Because why? We think we're right in situations. And so we're going to fight to the end. So that afternoon, I went back to the scene of the crime. I was about ready to prove everything I had done. And where I passed, I looked, and lo and behold, there was a double yellow line. Well. Now that changes things. I went and paid the fine. You see, we think we're right in most situations. But how many of us have found out occasionally you're not right? Anybody? How many of you are right all the time? All right, you and I, let's set up an appointment in my office. Because we need to really talk about this.
I get it on.
Yeah. All right, I'm not going to touch that one since it's Father's Day today. All right.
It says don't be the
one. But we think we're right. So if someone is bent on taking us to court, and we look at this for our personal property, they're bent on this. Actually, according to what we read here, it's better to yield than to insist on your rights. In other words, this is what it means. If they're asking for your coat, give them that, give them your cloak as well to satisfy the deal. Because sometimes it is better, as we look at this, just to do what? Yield. And the Apostle Paul actually has something to say about this over in 1 Corinthians. Hold your place there in Matthew. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is what he's talking to us about as far as what God's heart is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 6, but brother goes to law with brother, and that before believers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? No, you do wrong and defraud, and that to your brethren. In other words, Paul's asking him, why don't you rather just suffer this thing and yield to it, get it done, and get it finished, rather than to drag this out? Because what does that look like as believers that we have to have the last say? What does that look like to the world? What kind of a testimony is that to the world? That we are going to fight to the death on this thing, because we think we have rights. How much rights do you have as a believer? Your right is here, what Jesus is saying to us. And that goes against some of our very cores, because we're going to fight it to the end. We're going to see it through, because you're wrong. This is not saying that the other individual is not wrong. Sometimes we get so up in arms over that, well, they're wrong and we need to do something about it. It's my job to fix it. Whose job is it to fix it? It's God's job to fix this. Let God handle this. Hebrews chapter 12, if you jump over there with me. Again, I'm just showing you what God's heart is here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man can see the Lord. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and this is how many are defiled. Why? Because we got to have the last say. We got to be the one that says, I'm right and I'm going to prove that I'm right and prove that you're wrong. What does that get you? It doesn't get you anywhere. When the scriptures say, follow peace with all men, that leads to holiness. You know why? Because if we are that other individual that is just going after them in a court of law, and we got to have our way, and we're going to fight it to the end. Number one, that's going to cause you a lot of heartache. It's going to cause you a lot of problems, and it's going to cause something called a root of bitterness in you. Because the more you fight, the deeper the root of bitterness goes. And it's better, Jesus said, let it go. Let it go. This is the heart of the Lord here, what he's speaking about. Verse 41, now we're going to continue on with that. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Now John knows about this because he just walked a 5K. John, we congratulate you on that. He wanted his poster up in the church, but I'm not going to put it up here, okay? Kidding you, John, okay? I've kind of sublabeled this our personal time. When someone has compelled us, now that word actually compel means forces you to go a mile. Now, this a lot of times has to do with our workplaces, that which we have bosses that are telling us, you have to do this. And you think, well, I'm not getting paid enough to do that. How many of you ever said that? Yeah, this is the attitude that we get. That's that flesh man that's jumping in there and says, you don't pay me enough to do this. But we know that, according to the scriptures, who is our boss? God is our boss. Now, if you are compelled or forced to go 1 mile, he says, go the second mile, go the extra mile, go the mile or do something doubling your efforts. Now, that's not normal, is it? When we're forced to do something. Okay, I know when years and years ago that my mother would say, go in and clean your room. Go throw stuff under the bed, under the rug, right? Go the second mile. Go the second mile. When we're asked to do something of our personal, go the second mile, because this is the heart of God. How do I know that? Because Colossians chapter 3, very specific in this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. And whatever you do, except for at your job, except for when you're with friends, except for, and we like to put in our exceptions here. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Whatever you do, See what happens when you come in? Okay. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Because we know, the next verse tells us, that that work is not for ourselves. We are working unto Him. Amen? So the next time you go to complain about your job, complain about what you have to do, think about this. Because as a Christian, we're asked to go the second mile. Well, I'm not doing that. Nobody says I have to do it. Really? Really? Go the second mile. Do you think that this is a suggestion? Cindy, is it a suggestion? When you are teaching, see, we have several teachers in the house today. Okay? When you're teaching and you tell the students to do something, is that a suggestion? Laura quickly said no. What about our other teachers? Suggestions? No? Do you expect it? And God expects this of us, folks. He does. Okay? The last one has to do with our money. Uh-oh, he's hitting money again here. Give to him that asks. And from him that would borrow from you, do not turn away. Wow. Let's talk about that just briefly. The Amplified reads, anyone who keeps on begging and one that wants to borrow. Isn't that interesting? Now, when it comes to our money, what do we usually like to do? We just give it away freely, right? Johnny? You just give your money away. It doesn't matter, right? What do you like to do? Save it. It's mine. 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 Mary, whose money is it? It's the Lord's money. Good answer. See, she hadn't been here in a while and she knows that answer. Huh? Deuteronomy chapter 15. And again, you know, remember, Jesus doesn't just come up with this stuff. He has come to fulfill the law. He knows the Word of God. And this is what is written. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. If there's any among you, a poor man, of your brethren, within any of your gates in the land which the Lord God gives you, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open your hand wide unto him and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Now, we like to look at things like that and say, well, I've deemed that they only need this much. And that's all I'm going to give them. Because after all, I don't know what they're doing with it. I mean, come on, let's be honest. We all think about these kinds of things. And that's why here Jesus is dealing with this. You know, when he's talking about this, the scripture always encourages us to give, does it not? I mean, it's full of that. It is full of giving, and especially giving to the poor, especially giving to those that are in our body of Christ, those that have a need. We're to help meet that need and not walk away from it. We ought to bring that skit back again, Lisa. The electric bill. Do you remember that one? Yeah. And someone has a need on their electric bill and a Christian just comes up to them with various excuses and say, you know what? You need $20. I'll pray for you. Lord, you promise you will provide all of her needs according to your riches and glory. Bless her, Lord. And you walk away and you don't give her the money that's needed. What's she doing? Really? Okay. And then we come up with all kinds of things. You know, what you need to do is confess it, that the Lord will meet your needs. Say it five times now, Patty. Come on. (Laughter) but I still don't give it to her, right? And so we do these kinds of things that we don't give. But God says, when you see the need, to give, to help meet the need. Now, I always say this, that it is better to give sometimes unknowingly to an undeserving person than to turn away from a truly needy person. All right, now what do I mean by that? Sometimes when we see someone and they're saying, I have a need, and to the best of our knowledge, we think they do, and we determine it, and we give it to them, and then later on we find out this wasn't a good thing. Because you know, they're not using it for what they said they were going to use it for, or whatever the case. This has to do with all those that we see that are out publicly that are doing this kind of thing. But still, I believe that God will always bless that when we give with a good heart. Okay? He will always bless that. Now, when we find out that there's something shady going on, now it's our job as Christians to use wisdom and not to continue to feed that particular thing. Okay? It's very important here. Wise counsel, the whole counsel of God says for us to be wise in our giving. Once we find that out. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Paul talks about this here now, where it's dealing with people and how they respond and how they use finances and so forth. If anyone, Paul said to Timothy, does not provide for his own, right? They refuse to work. They can work, but they refuse to work. That particular person has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. It's worse than an unbeliever. If you're going to say you are a believer in Christ, what is your position? You should work and to provide for the needs of your family or those that you can help. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And again, this is taking the whole counsel of God's Word, and we put it into practice. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, to them that are such, we command and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. So, you know what the apostles, Paul's words were those that would not work? You don't eat. And telling those that were in the church, do not support that. Do not. Because it is not God's heart. It is not God's way. So you always have to put this together. But God's heart really is for us that we would be the ones that are the givers. Amen? Amen. Givers, right? Now, these last few verses here as we finish up this sermon, I praise God, I'm actually making it, Pastor Aaron. All right? I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is summarizing almost everything that we just went through, right, Landon? Pray for those that persecute you, taking you to law and doing this and doing that. But we know how the stance is for the believer. And listen, do good to those that hate you. Man, that is totally against what our hearts are. But I can guarantee you that it works. It works. When you do good to those that hate you, something has to change. Not just because they're saying, well, they're just doing it because they're religious. But do you really care about those people? Well, no, they hate me. I don't like them. Well, you know what? If they're not saved, they're going to hell. That's the end of story. Are you satisfied to just continue to dislike them and hate them, and you're okay with them going to hell because they hate you? I hope not. I hope not. And that's why he's talking about this loving and doing good, especially to those that use you. Because God is concerned about them. And believe it or not, he's going to use you to help bring them to faith in Christ. If you'll let him. But a lot of times we try to run from these folks because they're using us. They're despitefully using us. But our reaction can make a difference in the way that things happen and change in their lives. You know, I make it a regular practice as much as I possibly can to do particular things with unsaved people. Things that, you know, I find out something, especially if I find out if they like to fish. Then I'm going to say, why don't you and I go fishing? Because number one, I can get them on my boat and they can't get off unless they swim. Right? And I can share with them. But I can develop some sort of relationship and let God begin to work in their lives. Okay? This is what it's all about. That you will be the children of your Father. Because here's the deal. As he finishes up here, he says, if all that you love is the people that love you, what good is that? It's easy to love those that love you. It is, you know. Even Lisa told me she loved me this morning, and she's praying for me constantly. I'm kidding. But it's easy to love people that are nice to us. It is, and our family members. But what about those that aren't? They're not nice to you. They don't treat you well. But what makes the difference is how we respond to those people. It really does. How do we respond to them? Because it's no different than the way that they are as heathens or sinners, that they only like the people that like them. It's going to make a change. And he says at the very end of this, be you perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is perfect. Now, a lot of us look at that and say, I'm not perfect. I can't be perfect. As a matter of fact, you guys heard me years ago, bumper stickers that said, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Anybody ever seen one of them just by chance sometime in your lifetime? Rick? Yeah. Listen. We are forgiven, but what this is talking about here is that we would be, here it is, you ready? The word perfect means growing into maturity. God does not expect you to stay the same as you are today a year from now. He wants you to change. He wants your heart to change. He wants your heart to soften. He wants you to hear words like this and change the way we look at things. So I want to challenge you today. We have heard in this particular sermon today about how we respond when people come against us. How are we to respond when someone is against us, suing us? Are we, here's the summary. Are we supposed to be the ones that will fight to the end? True or false, Christians should insist on their way. I have rights. Our right as a believer is the Word of God. And to submit to the Word of God, the Apostle Paul said, do not be conformed to this world. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Christians need to be different than the world is. And he's asking for a change of heart. Will you accept that challenge? Or will you just say, nope, I'm going to stay the same? That's not what God's heart is. Father, thank you for your word today. And Lord, you've challenged us in various directions here today on this. And I'm going to ask, Lord, that you would help us. And I pray right now for everyone in this congregation that you would give them the opportunities to love their enemies. Lord, give them opportunities that come along at work when it has to do with going the extra mile. And Lord, give them opportunities to be able to give beyond what we think we can even give, Lord. Give us that opportunity. Challenge us, Lord. And I will thank you and I will give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.